Red On Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer up here at Hallis, Jason McKee. He's got his own Hallis Hall back at the crib. There's plenty of Bears memorabilia and stuff like that in there. Because former Chicago Bears fullback, J-Mac, a lot of changes up here. A lot of new faces up here. A lot of new people up here. Very interesting to see kind of where things have gone. What are your thoughts on the fact that we got not only just a new offensive coordinator up here, but seemingly going to be some more changes with Nate Davis also gone?
Yeah, you know, I'm a coach, so anytime you never want to see a coach get fired. You know, I pull for all these coaches. I know the amount of time and the commitment they put into this. You know, so it's a lot of work, a lot of time that you guys don't see. You hear Coach Flus talk about time on task. It's a lot of film watching. It's a lot of, you know, going through walkthroughs, going through different scenarios. So they put a lot of time in it, but obviously it didn't work here for Shane Waldron. So hate to see that. You also see a new offensive coordinator, Thomas Brown, address that as well. You know, a lot of these coaches, they've grown up through other coaches. So, you know, he was obviously influenced by Shane Waldron and a lot of other coaches around along the way. So it's good to see him acknowledge that. But yeah, change is going to come. And when you're not producing in this league, you know, things happen. You know, it's they're not going to give you a long leash. You know, they're going to make changes. Obviously, we haven't seen the Bears do that all the time, but that's how it normally goes. So, you know, new on deck is Thomas Brown, a guy who's had some play calling experience last year in Carolina. He took over the play calling for Frank Reich back in Carolina as well. So a guy who's well respected, a guy who brings a lot of energy. I really did enjoy his press conference today. You can see that he's confident in himself. You can hear from like DJ and Caleb when they got up there at the podium and spoke. They showed that, you know, they're ready to go. They showed that they show some confidence in him as well. So we'll see what it all, you know, how it plays out on Sunday. He doesn't have a lot of time. You know, today, usually Wednesdays, you'll go through like your first and second downs. Thursdays, you go through like third down and some more situational football. Yeah. Friday, we used to have a fast Friday. It was a shorter practice. And then, you know, Saturday, you have a walkthrough to tie everything in together. And then Sunday, you're strapping it up, going against the pack, a rivalry in which we've been dominated in here the past, you know, I don't know how long.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's very interesting to make this change now, especially heading into Packer Week. But like Coach Flus said, a change needed to be made. You weren't seeing enough offensively as far as being creative. You weren't seeing enough from the offense as a whole. They haven't scored pretty much in 2.5 weeks here. Basically, the fourth quarter of that Commanders game is the last touchdown the Bears have been able to go to produce. You knew that a change needed to come, but I think here's the part that is concerning about it. How quickly can you get in with the new process? That's the part for me with Thomas Brown, where Flus said, you know, I made my decision Monday after going through the process, and Tuesday morning, that's when I had the conversation with Thomas. I would think for me, you need to be having that conversation Sunday night. That's not this is Packer Week, you know, and I do appreciate Caleb for giving us some energy that we haven't gotten out of a quarterback in a little while. Justin Fields kind of echoed what Flus said. Hey, it's just another game. We're going to be fine. We're going to go out there, play our game. We're not going to let it get above us. Caleb Williams understood the moment. To me, he said he's out there. He's like, listen, it's not just another game. It's Packer Week. We got to attack. We got to get ourselves on track quickly. I like that the mindset seems to be right. But how is Thomas Brown going to be able to implement what he wants to do that quickly? Or do you think we see more of a dumbed down version of the playbook that we've seen?
I don't think we're going to see a dumbed down version of the playbook. First off, I'll start with Thomas. I think he's going to bring energy that, you know, me and you, Pat, we've been out there at training camp. We've been at practices. Shane Waldron wasn't, you know, the energy guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sitting there calling the plays where, as you see other coaches, we coach Morton running with the running backs every time they score. You see him, you know, he's jumping up and down when a running back score on Sunday. I think Thomas Brown brings that energy. He's a former player, former running back. He's going to bring a lot of energy, and I think that's what this offense needs. They need an injection of energy to help, you know, jumpstart it, or a change of personality leading this offense. So that's the first step. In terms of, you know, the playbook, a dumbed down version, I don't think it's going to be a dumbed down version because it's the same scheme. So Thomas Brown has inherited Shane Waldron's scheme. And he talked about it in his press conference, you can't make a wholesale change in terms of the playbook because that would put you back, right? That would be a backward spiral, which we've already seen, right? An offense that has been, anemic since the bye week. Our offensive MVP right now is Cairo Santos, who has, what, 4 field goals in the last 2 weeks. Like, you know what I'm saying, Pat? And that's not taking a shot. That's being honest.
You didn't have to bring us down like that.
It's the honesty, man. And it's very frustrating. It's frustrating as fans. It's frustrating for these players. I'm around them on game day. I see the frustration. You know what I mean? It's even frustrating. I know Kairos is happy that he's made the field goals, but I'm sure he's like, damn, I want to win a game too. Like,
yeah.
Give my leg a break. You know what I'm saying? But
that's what Tory Taylor's saying out here.
Yeah, Tory Taylor getting a workout every Sunday, man. But it's in terms of the playbook, I'll go back to that. It's still going to be the same terminology, still the same scheme, the motions. I think, you know, with what Thomas Brown said today, some of the key takeaways is it starts up front. He realizes that. Like, it starts up front, right? The offensive line, regardless of who's in there, you know, they got to set the tone in the run game and in pass protection, right? Because without that, no matter what scheme you put in, no matter what magic plays and creativity you have on this offense, it's not going to work. So I know there's going to be an extreme elite focus on that, even though you're going to have different guys in there. But I think with Thomas, you know, another thing that I look at is, and what we've seen, Pat, is being able to get your playmakers open, whether you scheme them open, where you know, tinker the route concepts a little bit to get them open. Because when you watch the film, you know, at times Caleb's back there ready to throw and guys aren't open because they're running deeper routes.
Yes.
Pat, it goes with Caleb too. It all works hand in hand, right? We see Caleb, right? When he has time to throw and set his feet, he doesn't make the throw because he's still trying to learn what NFL open is, right? Yeah. NFL open is throwing with anticipation, small windows, understanding that, hey, you know what? That defensive back may be right on my outside shoulder, but I got to put that ball on my receiver's outside shoulder away from the defender because that's NFL open. I think he's still learning that. You know what I'm saying? He's still got to learn that, and it's a different level, and it's a rookie quarterback trying to learn that and develop throughout the season. So we knew these growing pains were going to happen, and, you know, we're seeing a lot of growing pains, and the sad thing is, you know, with Caleb understanding when it's there, when the check down is there, or the easy throw, or the layup is there, take the layup. So I think those are some of the things we'll see a change in, because I know Thomas Brown is going to be real intentional on that. You know, he said he's going to be open. They've already had it. Him and Caleb already have spoke, and I'm sure he's reiterated that, you know, these are some of the problems that you're having as a young quarterback. He went through it a lot last year with Bryce Young, even though he said there's no correlation in terms of these two quarterbacks, totally different skill set, totally different type of quarterback. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how he puts this thing together, you know, especially in a run game. You're going to have a run game to get this offense in motion. He's a former running back. So if anybody knows the run game, the ins and outs of the run game and how to scheme guys and get more hats on the defense on one side of the ball or in terms of where you're trying to run the ball, you know, he knows it.
Yeah. And listen, this is one of the reasons I love having you on. This is one of the reasons I love having your offensive mind on, because you have been in the moment, seeing NFL open, seeing what, you know, when a quarterback, well, you've seen a lot of a quarterback processing a little bit too slow. I apologize for your time there. But realistically speaking, some of the things that I want to look at, that if you're the offensive coordinator, you come and clean up. Let's start with the run game. DeAndre Swift, to me, I think Swift is a heck of a player, especially when you get him in space in the passing game. But it is concerning to me that the three games, it basically took the passing game for his vision to kind of open up. I look back at that last game, I see a bunch of runs, J-Mac, where it just seems like he's reading the wrong read, reading where he needs to hit wrong, reading the hole 100%. Wrong. Do you feel like you can improve the running game, you can improve that, just by switching up the offensive coordinator? Or is this just kind of the player that you have there where you got to get him involved in the passing game? You got to focus passing over running with DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I think it's with him, you know, having a former running back as the OC now, and also having a former running back as your running back coach. I know Coach Morton is not going to let any detail be overlooked. So a lot of times you'll see, you know, DeAndre Swift running the football or running outside zone, and you know, you'll see it's a reading where he should be planting his foot and getting upfield because that defensive end has contained, or Cole Kmet or one of the tight ends and Gerald Everett is kicking that defensive out. So that automatically tells him that he's got to stretch and plant and get north and south. But he continues to press that ball outside. You know, he's running into the defender when he's being kicked out. So it's just DeAndre, you know, running backs, you've got to clean up, you know, your aiming points. You've got to clean up your reads. Every run has an aiming point, and every run has a read, right? And you've got to be intentional on those things. Otherwise, it's kind of like you're tackling yourself. You know what I'm saying? So it's those things. I know that DeAndre, you know, he'd be the first one to say he has to clean those things up. And for running backs, when you're not getting positive yards, you start not trusting things, right? So you start to do things on your own. You start to try to create on your own, right? You try to bounce the ball outside when the play is designed for to go inside in between the tackles. And that's what all running backs, you know what I mean? But you've got to get back to trusting the scheme, trusting the play, and then trying to trust the guys up front. And, you know, for the run game to work, regardless of who's in there, whether it's Borm, whether it's, you know, we've seen a bunch of guys in there, whether it's Curran and Shelton or whoever's in there, Kramer, like they've got to come off the ball and try to establish a level of physicality, right? But otherwise, nothing's going to work, especially in a run game. And then in a run game as well, like an extension of the run game, we saw this offense flourish when DeAndre Swift got touches in various ways, right? He got the carries, right? He got the checkdowns. They put him on option routes, angle routes, right? Those are extended runs. When you have a back that you can single up one-on-one with a linebacker and you can give him an option route, you give him like a five-yard pass, and that five-yard pass turns into a 15-yard gain, that's an extension of the run game, but that's also finding creative ways to get one of your best playmakers the ball in his hands. And when we saw that, we saw DeAndre Swift having the games where he had over 120 yards all-purpose yards, 150 all-purpose yards. This offense was moving.
Yeah. I mean, listen, how much of that, though, is on coaching? How much of that is on the player? Because, like, we can sit here and blame Shane Waldron for a lot. He's no longer here, so people are going to say, it's all on you. You got to make this play. But I saw a lot of runs over the last 2 weeks, J-Mac, where it seems like there's outside contain. You can get the play off. If you make this play, if you make this cut, you're up the field. You're gone. I also see players on the flip side of that where it's like, well, I mean, look. I don't know what you expect him to do. How much of it is, from what we've seen out of DeAndre Swift over the last few weeks, is on DeAndre Swift to improve? How much of it is on Thomas Brown to say, I'm going to put you in the best position to be 100% successful
here? It's on both. Like, I just broke down Swift, you know, the things that he has to do better as a running back. Now I go to the coach, right? The one thing that, as a great coordinator or a great coach, is you have to have solutions, or you have to have answers, like we call it, right? So, if you don't have answers, right, or you don't have the ability to make the adjustments, the in-game adjustments to make your offense run or to make your team go, you're going to be in trouble. Because the defense, they're going to make adjustments, right? He's going to be going up against Jeff Haley this week. He's going to have to make adjustments. And, you know, the thing about it is Jeff Haley, he's in his first year as a Packers, as the Packers coordinator. He understands the inefficiencies that this offense has had. And, you know, he's got to come out and make – he's going to make a lot of adjustments. Oh, I think we lost Pat.
I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back. I don't know what happened.
You're back. I was talking. I thought it was me. I kept talking, man. But
hey, you kept talking. Keep going with the point.
Let me fill you in. Where, I don't know if you can hear me, but I was saying, like, the coach has to make the in-game adjustments, right? He has to have answers, right? So if you're running outside zone, right, which is the Bears' bread and butter, I think, because I'm still trying to figure out what their identity is in the run game.
We haven't run it the last few weeks, it seems like.
That's what I'm saying. It seems like they're running a lot more inside zone. Yes. So if you're running outside zone, you can't get contained, right? They're doing a good job of, making contained. They're getting penetration up front with kills the zone. Well, you might need to change the scheme or the type of run that you're running. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't have that ability, or you don't have that acumen to be able to make those adjustments, those in-game adjustments, you're not going to be successful, right? We saw last week a team, the Patriots, ran a lot of cover one, a lot of man coverage, but then we saw the route concepts that didn't dictate that, right? We saw a lot of bunch formations, but guys were just, they weren't, you know, they were no switch releases in bunch to beat coverage or anything like that. There was no creativity in terms of picking guys open, scheming guys open, and we just saw basic routes in which, you know, the Patriots did a good job of getting in the face of our receivers, taking away the routes, even when they knew Caleb had to get the ball out quick, because they're bringing pressure and they know it's man coverage. So that's why they're pressed man like that. But if you don't have the ability to make those adjustments in game, where you're going to see an offense that scores no points.
When you look at the tape, do you feel like the receivers are running routes intentionally, I'll say? Do you feel like the receivers are running routes the right way? Because there's a couple of plays where it looks like, you know, I think about that underthrow that Caleb Williams had to DJ Moore. Not to say DJ ran the route the wrong way, but it does look like it's trailing a little bit. It's not, you know, a hard cut there. Again, I'm not saying I know everything that DJ is supposed to be running, stuff like that, but it seems like that's happening quite a bit here. At least it was under Shane Waldron.
Yeah, you're right. Like the out route that DJ ran, you know, it's tough because, like I said, we're not in the huddle, but it looks like he's just flattened out off more. But also at the same time, you know,
Caleb got a good ball.
He won hot. So yeah. it's everybody, right? And on a route like that, when you have a speed out like that, depending on how they teach their guys to run it, some guys it's a speed cut, some guys they'll run that route at 5 yards, 8 yards, and then they'll break it out. Speed cut, they're not even stopping. They're just rolling that thing at 8 yards, and that ball should be out quick. So NFL open, throwing in anticipation and accuracy is very important, because when you watch that play, right, as soon as DJ Moore is at the top of his route or the depth of his route, that ball should be coming out. So when DJ, whether it's a speed out or it's just a regular outbreaking cut from DJ, he should be turning and running to that ball, because the quarterback, the good quarterbacks in this league,
yeah,
they throw to a spot, and it's all about timing. So if you're not that at that spot, it's going to be incomplete, and you're going to look like you didn't run out of your route. Or if you get a quarterback that just misfires, you're going to see the one hop by Caleb. So it's not just one person in particular. This offense has been disaster the past few weeks, and it's everybody. It's the protection. It's the we can't defeat nobody physically in the run. You know, when the throws are there, Caleb doesn't make it. When the check down's there, Caleb doesn't make it. When the throw is there to be made, our receivers drop the ball. You talk about Romo Dunze, the drop he had, but at the same time, situationally, you run that route at 8 yards, you need 10 for a first down. So even if he does catch it, he's tackled. You see what I mean? Like, that's it's everything right now.
Yeah, and it just – if I hope that this is the thing that gets him over the hump. I mean, heck, if you're going to – I guess the one thing is, right, there's always that little bump it seems like you get when you put a new offensive coordinator in. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he got – I believe Thomas Brown took over Packer week last year, and the Panthers actually had a – did they beat the Packers last year? No, they didn't beat the Packers, but they had a really good game against the Packers last year. But the big thing for me – so maybe you're hoping for that bump – the big thing for me, though, is, you know, just making this thing easier for Caleb Williams to process and understand. Because to me, the thing that I see when I look at the tape, J-Mac, is while, yes, the offensive line is struggling, and I do think that that plays into it. When you've been beaten and battered so much, eventually it's gonna affect you a little bit. But it seems like Caleb, the amount of time he's holding the ball, how much slower he's processing, it seems like he's not trusting himself. And I asked him about that today. And basically his answer was, yeah, I got to be precise in my decision-making and let the ball fly.
Yeah, 100%. And it also goes back to, we saw this last year, and we saw it with Shane. And it's not all on Shane, but it's also, you know, putting together a game plan that your quarterback is comfortable with, right? That your quarterback can execute, right? Putting together a game plan that'll highlight your quarterback's skill set. We're seeing that being done in Washington with Jane Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury. You know what I'm saying? We're seeing that done in Denver with Bo Nix and the great Sean Payton, who's one of the best play callers this game has ever seen.
Yeah.
We're seeing all those things with those quarterbacks, right? And, you know, a lot of times when you see this team go up-tempo, right, there was a period in the game last week to where the Bears were going up-tempo, and bam, you see him get that ball out to Keenan. Bam, you see DJ Moore get a completion. Bam, you see Cole Kmet get a completion. And then what happens? Boom, now we're huddling up. The offense is slow. The rhythm and timing's not there. Yeah. Caleb's out of rhythm. And then what do we see? Punt, 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 punt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
exactly. It's understated, Pat. Like, you know, and it's good that Thomas Brown, like, he had that conversation with Caleb. And like they said, he's been around all year, but it's in a different capacity. So having those conversations, you know, Caleb, what do you like? What don't you like? You know, and then you're not giving him the whole playbook. You've got to be intentional with him too. Like, hey, Caleb, look here. Take the check down when it's there. No ifs, ands, or buts. You know what I'm saying? If I call a run on 3rd and 3, right, and we do run orbit motion to DJ, we run orbit motion, bring him around the quarterback, and we're running GT counter, the guards pulling, kicking out the end, the tackles pulling and wrapping inside by the linebacker for 3, and it's 3rd and 3, hand the ball off because it's there. Don't throw the orbit bubble screen to DJ because it's not there, because that safety is in cloud coverage coming over the top, making the tackle, and Keenan Allen's not blocking anybody. You know what I'm saying? Those are the type of situations, critical situations, right, to where you see if your quarterback can't handle the check, don't give him the option to check. Hey, Caleb, right here, we're running a GT counter, guard tackle counter, and it's a handoff 100%. If you check this play and you throw that ball out on the perimeter, I'm going to cuss you out when you come to the sideline.
Yeah.
That's the type of communication you got to have with your quarterback. You know what I mean? You've got to be calm with him, but you got to let him know, like, this ain't the Wild West out here. You're not checking plays when the play is there and when I've called the play. But as a coordinator, you can't give him that option. We saw that before, and we talked about it on a post-game show, Pat, after the game. We saw that in D.C., first and goal, right? You saw a look. You throw a fade to D.J. Moore in the end zone. That's incomplete. Like, don't give him an option to check, because right now he's not seeing things, making checks or in pass protection, right? We talked about it as well. You know, he's at the line changing the protection. He's sliding away. He's sliding the line away from pressure the opposite way. So, and then he's getting hit in the mouth. Well, guess what? That's your fault, Caleb, because you're sliding the line away from where the pressure's coming from. And it hurts Caleb because you also don't have that experienced offensive lineman that can trump the check or the protection that he makes, right? If I'm a lineman, or if I have somebody on this offense that I trust, and you see Caleb sliding this line the wrong way, or you see him making the wrong check and protection, who's that guy to say, wait, check? No, we're sliding to the right. You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. We see we're sliding to the strength. We're not sliding away from that Sam strong safety blitz. We're going to slide to it so that way we can pick it up, give you time to make whatever reads you need to make.
Yeah, they I think that is that is the concern. I think the one play that you speak on, right, the bubble pass to DJ, to me, that's Caleb trusting that Keenan's going to do his job on that route. Yeah. maybe that's the scary moment there that you're trusting that Keenan Allen's going to make the block. But I do agree with you as far as Caleb doesn't really have anybody out there who is going to trump him or who is going to, yeah, you know I mean, like I guess the Olin Krutz guy is going to say, hey, no, that's the wrong protection, dog. Well, you're not seeing this.
Well, with Olin, here's the thing. You didn't have Olin, there was no Olin after Trump in anything, because Olin made
Olin the protection was calls. Calls. Yeah. Olin was
he made the mic point. You know what I'm saying? And if you have no, just think about the confusion though, Pat. Like if you can't designate the mic in protection, or if you can't slide the protection or change the protection or slide the protection the way you want. Just think how confusing it is from everybody, right?
Yeah.
From out wide to the receivers, they may have hot routes built in based upon what type of pressure they're bringing. The running back's confused because, you know, he doesn't know who the mic is because you're not calling it, or who he thinks is the mic, you're miking somebody else. So now that changes the whole dynamic of the protection. Like, that's why you're seeing things the way they are. That's why you're seeing free runners hitting Caleb. That's why you're seeing, you know, when Caleb does have time, you know, he's holding it. Or sometimes when he does have time, he's not getting the ball out quick because he's trying to see things open, but you got that pressure bearing down because you done made the wrong protection check. You see what I'm saying? It's a disaster. It's a whole buffet full of things right now.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, Thomas Brown can bring some clarity to it and make things simpler and to get this offense going, because the one thing, you know, Thomas Brown said, there's no correlation between this Bears team and Carolina, the one that he called plays for, because realistically, let's be honest, we have way more talent than they had.
Carolina had nothing. I mean, I guess offensive line wise is a little bit similar, but Carolina basically had no
receivers. They had no receivers.
They had no options to throw.
You had a rookie quarterback. So the only similarity is we have rookie quarterbacks, but we have a rookie quarterback that has weapons around him. You know what I'm saying? And you still have the same situation with the offensive line, but that's what makes this situation different. So let's hope that, you know, Thomas Brown.
Got to get T. Jones back on, man. Got to get T. Jones
back on. Talk
about this run guy. Or get him back on the field, one or the other. We need some running back help. We need
a little bit. Let's hope Thomas Brown can create some easy layups or create some type of comfortability with this offense, right? Kim, him and Coach Morgan come up with some, you know, the right pass protections or the right plan to go out there and let this offense play fast, but also get the ball into the playmaker's hands so they can make plays.
Yeah. Hey, we got to talk about one big change that was made today. I don't know about big change. Well, it's an expensive change. I got to talk about the expensive change that was made today. But before we do that, I know that you guys out there have some epic fan caves, and I'm teaming up with Miller Lite to find the best of the best. Head over to MillerLiteFanCave.com and share photos and videos of your ultimate fan cave, your Chicago Bears fan cave. And if you can do that, if you get the best in, you can win two tickets to go see the Chicago Bears play the Green Bay Packers up in Lambeau. We're going to need a lot of noise up there because it's a
it's a crazy place. It's you know what? I dislike that team up north, but I always love playing up there, especially when we kick their ass up there. I love it.
I'd like to see more of that. I haven't seen much of that over since y'all left Hallis Hall, my guy. Make sure that you guys get your photos into MillerLiteFanCave.com and sign up today. All right, J-Mac. Nate Davis was cut from this team today. Bears basically tried everything in their power to get off of him, and nobody wanted him. And so today they end up making the decision to cut Nate Davis. One thing that Thomas Brown brought up, and he wouldn't comment on it in the press conference. I did ask him about it, but he talked about attitude. He talked about effort. Yep. Those are the two things that we've questioned with Nate Davis the entire time. I mean, literally the entire time of his tenure here. Do you feel like Thomas Brown coming in is setting a tone with the fact that we're not going to have that in the building? Or do you think that this is Flew's finally saying, you know, hey, look, we're done with it. We don't need it anymore. We don't need it around us. We're moving on.
It's everything. You know what I mean? You can't talk about having the hits principle be the basis of your coaching style and not having guys fly around on the field offensively and defensively, right? Offensively, offensive linemen getting to the ball to pick the running back up after a carry, you know what I'm saying? Or after that ball carry, after that receiver makes a catch, running down there, picking that receiver up, you know what I'm saying? Playing fast, always around the ball. You never know what's going to happen when that ball carry has the ball, it gets popped out, lineman's there to recover the fumble. You know what I'm saying? It's all 11 to the ball on defense, right? That's just effort. You know, it's hard to coach effort. It's the basis of your foundation and your coaching philosophy. But if you have guys that aren't giving you effort, then you don't bring them in. You're looking for guys that match your philosophy. And if you have a guy on tape that's not showing maximum effort, well, then guess what? If that's your philosophy and you're the Bears head coach, then he can't be a Chicago Bear. Right? Attitude is the same way. You know, from a coordinator standpoint, no matter what's going on outside of the building, no matter how mad you are about your role within the offense or within the team, whether it's offense or defense, you got to have a good attitude. You got to be a good teammate. And then if you're not, you know, getting things that you want, do something about it.
Yeah.
If you're not getting the passes your way, run your routes better. Get separation. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what it is. That's the name of this game. There's no freaking pouting in football. There's no throwing a goddamn tantrum on the field. Play better. That's what you have to do. Play better.
Yeah.
And if you have an attitude and you're that type of guy that has negative energy, bringing negative energy around this building, around this offense, around this defense, around this team consistently, well, guess what? That rubs off on people. Because now you start bringing people along with you. Now you're bringing this whole thing down, right? You always, as a player, you always want to be a part of the solution and not the problem. And if you can't be, within hell, like, you know, we've got to make changes. So Nate Davis, right, we're down offensive lineman. They only dressed 7 on Sunday. I was right there watching the guys warm up, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. And I said it, too, before the game. What happens if, God forbid, one of these guys go down? We're only going to have 6, and that's what happened. But you have a guy, I don't know how he got hurt before the game, hurt his back. I don't know.
Yeah.
And he's not there. He hasn't been there.
He ain't there no more. So, yeah.
He ain't been there anyway. Like, he's been there anyway.
From what I read today, I don't know if this is true or not, it was a legit call-in. So he was never there. It wasn't that he got sent home. I heard this was a phone call. Hey, I'm back a little tight. I'm going to just stay home.
So he wasn't there where, like, at the team hotel?
Well, it was a home game. Last week was a home game.
Yeah, they still stay in the team hotel.
Oh, do they? Do they stay?
They still stay downtown. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, did he call from his hotel room and say, "Coach, look here, Coach Flus, I don't care how many linemen you got, I ain't playing today." Like, and that's the coach's fault if you allow that.
I got no answers.
If you allow that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't. But I tell you what. Ski mask way.
Hey, bro. Ski mask. The slump guy.
How many games did he play? 13 games. Was it 13 total games?
13 total games for Nate Davis.
Oh, Lord, man, he got paid.
Hey, yeah. And the Bears have made some subsequent moves since then. Jake Curran has been brought up to the active roster. They also signed 24-year-old why am I blanking on his name? Ricky Stromberg. I was going to say Ryan Stromberg for some reason. Ricky Stromberg, he's someone who, third-round pick by the Washington Commanders, messed up his knee back in 2023 after playing just 4 games. He ended up getting released on an injury settlement before the 2024 season even started. He's played mostly center in his time in the NFL. He's played mostly center throughout his career. He's had some games at guard during his brief time with the Commanders, and he's played at both, so he kind of fits that mold that they want to go after.
That's all I care about. Can he block, son? Block
is a good question. I mean, but you also have to – listen, the one thing that I will say about when I took a look at him was – he looks like one of those guys that has that nasty. He He looks like one of those guys that, you know, when you blocking, it's not just I'm blocking to the whistle, it's I'm blocking until you're dead in front of me. That's something that I would like to have as an asset, but it's also about being healthy.
You can look like Tarzan and play like Jane. I hope he looks like Tarzan and plays like Tarzan.
Well, I'm talking about what I saw from the NFL games he played in, not the college games.
Okay.
From the NFL games he played in, he looked like he had a little bit of nasty to him, and that to me does excite me. The concern, of course, is the injury concern, but he had a scope basically, arthroscopic surgery on that right knee. Okay. And the reports are that he's healthy. 6'4", 313 pounds at center. That would be a definite upgrade, J-Mac, if right now we 6'1", 300, 299. Yeah,
I don't think he'll be in this week replacing.
Probably not. No.
But it's good. I mean, you got to try to find ways. You haven't addressed it. He didn't address it in the draft. You somewhat addressed it this offseason. Now you're trying to, like we said, Pat, keep putting the Band-Aid. Keep putting a Band-Aid over a gash that requires stitches.
Over a bullet wound.
Some
Band-Aid
attention
over a bullet wound.
That requires surgery. You know, you're trying to put a little Band-Aid on it. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, it really doesn't matter, you know, who's in there. And what happens is next man is up. You know, every star in the NFL, right, was an unknown before they got that opportunity. So the biggest thing now is for the guys like Larry Borum to take advantage of that opportunity. Ryan Bates, you were a guy who we sought to get last year. We finally got you. You're back in the lineup. Take advantage of the opportunity. Coleman Shelton, you're starting at center. You've had opportunity after opportunity. It's time to step up. Doug Kramer, you're getting opportunities to step up. And the sad thing is, you know, like Tevin Jenkins, when he was in the game last week, he was a dog. And when he's healthy, he is a bona fide dog. He just can't stay healthy, you know. So we've had a lot of things go against us as with this team. I say us, with them. The Bears have had a lot of things go against them. But at the same time, it's on them as well to make change. And you made a change at the coordinator position, but now it's time for this team as a whole, if you want to have, you know, somewhat of a salvageable season, to make change in the way you're playing. And that's all three phases.
No, 100%, 100%. We're going to get up out of here. We appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star view. A lot of changes. It is Packer week. We'll see if they take an effect heading into this week. Make sure that you guys hit that like button. For Jason McKee, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there in Chicago. Bear down. One love.
Bear down. Peace.